You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to Required Reading.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Amy.
And we are two unqualified Otago students.
And in this podcast, we discuss books and sometimes their adaptations, mostly so we can avoid our uni work.
On this episode of Required Reading, we are talking all things Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. We're talking Mad Max Fury Road, Twinks and STEM, Marxist Theory, and of course, Turkey Gobble Gobble. Listen to the episode to find out more.
Ooh,
Halloween! Kind of.
We're in New Zealand, though.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Halloween in New Zealand?
Nothing.
I feel nothing, too.
Partly because we haven't been able to actually do anything for Halloween for the last 4 years because it's always in the middle of exam season.
People keep trying to make it happen. And I go, it's like spring here. We've never done it. Can we
I love the idea of it.
But I think, like, let's just be brave enough to have a costume party as is. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's good to have an excuse to be, you know, a slut.
Spooky.
Oh.
That too.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
As we know, famously. Well, last year I was a slutty Bridgestone tire service worker.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you can be a slutty anything for Halloween. It's great. And speaking of Halloween...
Happy Halloween.
This week,
yeah,
we're talking about a spooky book. Except it's not really
apart from
that,
it's not spooky, not spooky, and we'll talk about that later. It's actually not spooky.
Yeah, but we're talking Frankenstein.
We're talking Mary Shelley.
Okay. An absolute classic. And you know, for a long time, this was. I read this towards the beginning of my classics journey.
Yeah,
and it is. I would say the most accessible and most fun to read classic.
It just hasn't aged. Hasn't raged.
It has raged. But it's just, it's such a timeless story.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that also the language.
It's timeless because it was before its time. You know, it hasn't aged because it was a trendsetter, you know?
Yeah. How can you age something that existed for a lot?
Okay.
But yes, this is honestly such a fabulous book.
I read it maybe like 3 years ago.
Yep. For the first time.
I read it for a class that I ended up dropping. That was a waste of 10 books that I read. It wasn't. I think
not a waste of this book.
No, not a waste of this book. And actually all the other books, once I read all of them, I actually went, I don't know if I need this class. But it was fantastic. Fantastic.
It's so fantastic. And this is a lot of people's favourite book.
Yeah.
And one of those people happened to be our friend
Sophia.
And, you know, we've recently actually Required Reading has come under fire a little bit from a couple of people who felt a certain type of way about the fact that we named and gave the profession of the people who had recommended ACOTAR to us. We're joking. They didn't really care, but it's funny. And so I think that from now on, when we do name somebody, we need to fully name them. So,
we need to dox them?
Absolutely. So Sophia Borthwick, law and philosophy student and our friend, she has sent in a few thoughts as to why...
Just to get the ball rolling.
As to why she loves Frankenstein and why it's her favourite book. So she says, okay, so because Frankenstein is the beginning of the science fiction genre, it is, like all other sci-fi, at its core, a story about human nature and morality. And this is really driven home by the fact that the Frankenstein's monster is made from human. He's not some other creature. So to me, the monster isn't only a depiction of humans going too far and wanting to achieve something, but also a demonstration of the importance of human authenticity. Like I said, the monster is made from human, but because he's just an amalgamation of various parts, he isn't actually a human. In order to be an authentic human, it's more than just having the right DNA. It needs to be, for a lack of a better word, natural.
Fuck. That was so succinct. That was very well done.
I was expecting more just like, I love it because my mum read it to me when I was five.
It was such a serve. What a slay.
But it was, that was an in-depth academic.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I think we're done.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. So this episode was going to be, this wasn't in the plan.
No.
It wasn't in the plan, which you say, no. You say, but the season colours this semester, they're black and pink, gothic.
Absolutely.
You know, textbook. But we were going to be doing Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar, and we were going to talk about how, like, Sylvia Plath is often really, like, cornered, like, shoved in a corner as being depressing and, like, all of this stuff, and we were going to talk about all of this stuff. But it wasn't.
We went to go plan it, and we says to ourselves, this
episode. It's
just not
funny at all.
There's nothing funny in it. It's a beautiful book.
It's beautiful and fantastic and amazing.
Totally read it. Doesn't make for a fabulous podcast episode.
And I feel very passionate about Sylvia Plath, and I feel very passionate about her work, but I feel so passionate that I can't.
We can't. We just can't. So we're sorry.
So we said, what can we do instead? What's going to be our classic?
The Other Sleigh.
It had to be Frankenstein.
Obviously.
It had to be.
Obviously. And oh my God.
I'm feeling so tight. Charlie, why didn't you remember?
I am so tight. My hamstrings, honestly, they are like rock.
Oh.
Is rock. Rock isn't really considered tight, is it? It's considered hard.
My heart.
What's something that's really,
like
really
rock.
Tight?
Tight.
What is something that.
My bra.
My ass. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, we're really tight, like my hamstring. And we have to do a fun fact.
Yeah.
And so my fun fact is going to be, okay, so Mary Shelley, she's a queer icon. Yep. This we know to be true. But a further example of her being an absolute badass.
I like that you say we already know that when we haven't talked about Mary Shelley at all yet.
You just need to know. Everyone knows that Mary Shelley is a queer icon, okay? She's the OG
one. Here's a pre-fact before I get to my fun fact.
Yeah.
Mary Shelley is a queer icon.
Yeah, first fact, cool. Queer icon. Second fact, in 1827, she helped two female friends escape to France by disguising them as a married couple.
I love that.
Slay.
I love that. That's great. What a slay. Mine, where do you think Mary Shelley lost her virginity?
Well... Look, the thing is, I do know this, but you know what? Nothing that I could have possibly guessed would have been the answer, okay? Not a single thing.
So, Mary Shelley lost her virginity on top of her mother's grave?
Apparently. Hey, we have to give her a slight benefit of the doubt.
I'll read you a wee bit of this article that was I found through the library, so you know. But Percy and Shelley would often sneak off together taking secret walks. They frequently walked through the churchyard, read together in Mary's favourite place. And on Sunday the 26th of that same year, Mary Godwin took Percy Shelley to the cemetery again. She told him that she loved him, and he immediately reciprocated. Sorry. The way that that's written is it just sounds like she's like, I love you, and he's like, I love you!
Before she even finished.
It seems that they had sex shortly thereafter, since the following day in Percy's own journals he wrote that a fantastic thing happened that made him consider the day as his real new birthday. And the reason why I had to read that out is I'm like, good for you, Percy. You know, like, you saw it as such an event.
I think there are a couple of other things that could have made it the best fantastic thing ever. She could have given him a jar of apple struve. That would have... been so special. That would have been apple struve. I love it. It's so delicious. That thick black sweetness. that apple concentrate. Yum, 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 yum.
My dad's going to be so thrilled to hear about that. He loves his apple struve.
Can you think of anything else that would have been better than sex?
Like a really good book.
Yeah, a really good book. Or she just really got that one patch of scratch on his back that he just couldn't read. Like, and he was like, ah, yes, thank you.
He just smelled really good.
Yeah, he smelled it. And she told her, she complimented him what he smelled like. He was like, yes!
But she also leaned in to his neck and just... And said, fuck, man, you smell lit. And he was like, new birthday.
And said it very matter-of-factly. Yeah. You know, just like, oh, God, you smell good.
Or even
best compliment.
You always smell so good.
Yeah. Oh, see, there's other
better
explanations.
We're single.
But, you know, Mary Shelley, as we were saying just before, she is a queer icon.
Yeah.
And she's legendary. She's phenomenal. She's sensational.
Yeah.
She is the best woman alive.
She's the best woman dead.
But it was her 225th birthday the other day.
Happy birthday, Happy birthday. Mary Shelley.
I don't understand why we're celebrating dead people's birthday. They didn't get there. You know, like it's not her 225th birthday. She's dead.
Yeah. Do we celebrate her death day?
I think that would be more appropriate.
The anniversary of her death. Why do we not call it death day? We don't call it...
Because it sounds too cool.
Death day. Happy death day.
Happy death day.
I would like that if I die. Can you celebrate my death day?
Yeah, I will. We'll have a death sleigh party.
Yeah. Who's going to die first? You or me? Let's move on.
Okay. Okay, moving on. So Mary Shelley. She's born in 1797. Okay.
Long time ago, hey?
A long time. 225 years, actually. She's the daughter of Mary Wollstonecraft and some guy. I don't care who the dad is, seriously. Who cares? Mary Wollstonecraft, okay. Craft. Yeah, same diff. She's not one of the earliest feminists, because I think as long as there's been women, there's been feminists. But she's one of the earliest published feminists in the English language. She was, in short, a fucking girl boss.
She actually was.
She seriously was. And she sadly died giving birth, like a week after giving birth to Mary Godwin. And that really was a big part of Mary Shelley. And I'm going to say Mary Shelley because that's how we know her. I know it's her married name, and I'd be like, you know, let's actually call her by her real name, not her husband's, you know, whatever. But we know her, Also, there's a lot of Marys
Mary
in this story. She's Mary.
But, you know,
just Mary.
Just slight spoiler alert to Frankenstein. I must say, it is quite interesting that she comes from such a feminist mother.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the book Frankenstein, not particularly feminist. No strong female characters. They all kind of
don't you see it as a big critique of man and the things that man wants to do?
I mean, yeah, but I just still find that kind of interesting.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
Mary Wollstonecraft was all about getting women into work and
she
like
was,
in the action.
Yeah.
And so I find that kind of interesting that sort of led. Hey,
I think Mary Shelley was a bit more consumed by the fact that her mother died giving birth to her.
Oh, you get over that.
Anyway, it really influenced her writing, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. But essentially, she grew up just reading what her mother, like to have a connection with her, really just read her mother's writing. She was given a fairly comprehensive education for a girl. Like, it was quite unusual. It wasn't like extensive by any means, but it was like a lot for that era. She was a rebel. That's just one bullet point. That's as is. Rebel. Okay. And moving on. She was incredibly intense.
She's an intense person.
And a great example of this was that when her husband Percy Shelley died, she carried around his heart with her for the rest of her life.
His heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is particularly fascinating because didn't he die in like a fire? And then they were like, the only thing that survived was his heart.
No, so he drowned at sea.
How do they find his heart?
Just let me finish.
Yeah.
He drowned at sea. His friends were like there and they're like, fuck, that wasn't great.
Not good. He died.
I mean, fuck. Oh, not great. And so they decided to give him, and like Mary Shelley was somewhere else in France, I think. And it was in Italy. They were in Italy.
Okay.
I don't know why that's not important.
So was it Italy or France?
It was Italy. It's like near the place where Call Me By Your Name is, because it's like quite a big part of the book.
Oh, yeah.
Throwback to season two.
The Italian places.
Yeah, like he dies like there. They talk about it like, do
oh,
they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, so he died. His friends were like, oh, fuck. And then they're like, you know what we should do? Viking funeral. And so they like put him up on a pyre and they like burnt him to a crisp, you know. And then, but his heart.
Also they thought.
And his heart didn't burn. And apparently it's like scientists have been looking at this.
Calcification.
Like, yeah, calcification. He essentially had a condition that if he hadn't drowned would have killed him, that his heart was slowly turning to bone.
You know, either that. I've got another theory.
Yeah.
Or he was cursed by Amarantha.
Get that trash out of here.
Think about it.
Yeah,
it's
seriously,
the exact
she's
same
very
thing.
Evil.
Heart of stone.
Yeah, no, you're so right. Yeah.
And I could see Mary Shelley as a fader.
As a fader.
As a fader.
Okay. So she was a very intense woman. She met Percy Shelley, who is an incredibly famous Romantic era poet. Essentially, he was like one of the most famous poets at the time. We don't remember him that much anymore.
We mostly remember him for being married to Mary Shelley.
Yeah, which I think is great.
And part of their relationship. Their relationship was pretty famous.
Yeah, that's pretty famous.
Yeah.
So she met him when she was like 14. They fell in love at she was like 16. He was already married.
Slay.
And they went, and he already had a child. And they eloped. They left. They were like, who cares?
Oh, slay.
So Percy Shelley, romantic poet.
Mm.
We'll understand romanticism a bit later. He wasn't just like, I love you, girl. Girl,
I love ladies and I love you in particular.
No, he kind of was like that. Anyway, so he was like a radical political kind of figure.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, fuck, that's hot. She would have been a young green.
Oh, gotcha.
So they elope. They run away together. And they go to France. And they famously end up near the Palace of Chillon, if you will. Mm-hmm. And one misty, stormy night.
Dark and stormy.
And Lord
night.
Byron's there. Okay. Yeah. Rambunctious, debaucherous Lord
little
Byron.
Man.
Little man. I was also going to say.
Isn't there rumours that he was having an affair with Mary Shelley?
Oh, absolutely. They were all fucking each other.
Oh, yeah. They were swingers.
It was one big orgy.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
And so it's this one night, and they were like, who can tell the spookiest ghost story?
Yeah.
And Mary Shelley's like, I fucking got this.
And she did.
And she did. And she wrote it. And it was all. And then all of the like research, I was like re-looking into this. And apparently that whole year was just incredibly misty and foggy because there was this big like earthquake that like kicked off a tornado.
Really?
Not a tornado.
That's amazing.
A volcano.
God, climate change.
Yeah,
am I right?
Seriously.
The whole world used to be misty.
So, yeah, I've kind of just taken us up to Frankenstein because I know we have to get through the plot. That's, you know, she's obviously a lot more of a fully formed human.
There's a lot of research on Mary Shelley. She's a very interesting figure in literary history.
She's kind of enigmatic.
Yeah, she's
kind of got the
really
same,
an enigma.
Let me say this. She's got the same vibe as Catherine Mansfield. They would have been best friends.
And also Phoebe Bridges. And Phoebe,
you're
she's
so
totally
right.
in that.
The two fobs.
She's totally in the
Mary Shelley.
In the bisexual woman cinematic universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Who isn't?
I'm now going to. We're going to recap the plot.
It's going
to
be a full plot
we're
rundown.
We're doing a full plot
this
rundown.
Is, you know,
because we want to.
We want to. And I don't remember what happened. So this is going to be a surprise
for
me.
As we said at the beginning, we read this a while ago. So this was mostly to recap us.
This is your one stop. Guide to Mary Shelley.
Yeah.
And once you've listened to this, you can say you've read it.
Yeah. You don't. We actually recommend to not read it.
No, we don't. We don't.
Definitely read it because actually the language and the way
it's
that she writes
writing.
Is beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
But also the story is interesting and not what you expect.
I know.
So we start the novel with a letter from a certain Captain Walton who is sending a letter to his sister. We're like, hold on. Who's this?
Who's this?
This isn't Frankenstein.
His name's not Franken.
Here we
or
go.
Stein.
No, exactly. Walton, you see, he's in the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
He's on an exploratory mission.
Yeah.
And while he's there, he's a giant man on a dog sled.
Huge man. The biggest man.
And he's like, that's so weird.
Man.
Who's that? And then a few hours later, finds like a nearly frozen man. Okay.
A normal size man.
A normal,
let me say that.
A smaller man, but just normal size. And what's his name? Victor Frankenstein. Yeah. Okay. And he says to Mr. Walton, he goes, I was following that giant man, but now I'm almost frozen to death. Please help me. And then Captain's like, All right. So, you know, Mr. Walton.
Yeah.
He's there for scientific reasons. And Victor really sees a lot of the same scientific ambition and obsession for science that he had. And so he's like, you know
what?
Let
me tell you a story.
Mr. Walton, I need to stop you right here because you're in dangerous territory. You know, it's pretty cold out. It's you know, rumor has it it's cold in the North Pole. So he says, I'm going to tell you a story. All right? And so we begin a frame story. And
I'd like you to imagine, you've got to know that Victor Frankenstein, okay, he's very sweaty. He's in bed. He's tossing and turning.
He's ill.
He's ill. He's near death.
The
you
hypothermia
know?
Did not treat him
it
well.
It did not. It was not good for him.
Yeah. And turns out he
he'd had quite an experience in the last, you know, few weeks leading up to it. A big few weeks there. Yeah, but we'll get to that. Okay, so now we're really jumping into the Frankenstein stories.
So let me just point out the fact that, so we talked about this kind of nested narrative thing.
In
our first flagship episode, Wuthering Heights. And so it's interesting. It's not something we see now that it's like, let me tell you a little story.
Yeah.
And I met this person and then they told me a little story and then they told me a little story.
But the girlies loved it
in the Regency era. they were like, this is lit.
This is the way to tell a story. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because it gave a lot of freedom that wasn't had.
It also really gained that, you know how people tell stories around a campfire?
Yeah.
It's that sort of idea, but in book form. It's exactly. Like, let me tell you a story.
It's more like representative of an oral tradition of storytelling. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Continue.
So we meet up with Victor. He's telling Walton, he says, look, I was born into a real wealthy family from Geneva.
Fucking rich.
I am a rich bitch. And also, I love alchemy. Always have, always will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, during his childhood... This is slightly off topic, but not really. Victor's parents adopted a little girl called Elizabeth. Now, this girl later becomes his wife.
I thought it was so rank.
His adoptive sister. My God, they can't be
stained.
They're
loose back then.
Seriously. And everyone's like, that's totally fine.
Everyone's like, of course. We're so glad you're doing that.
So weird. And when she was like two, like little girl. Anyway, moving on. Look, fast forward, they have a childhood. And Victor's at university. He's in university in Germany. And he is a total nerd.
Yep.
He's a total geek. And he's developing a way to bring non-living matter to life. Okay? And in his pursuit, he creates this giant man. Now look, his first mistake. He tries to make the giant man super hot.
Yeah.
He's choosing like the best features, but
he's like, look at this ass.
Yeah, and he accidentally, because there's lots of little bones and like nerves and things in the human body, he's like, fuck, I don't know how to do that. So I'm going to make the man like 9 feet tall, like a giant, because he can't
so
do
that
the
I can just like see, because it's make way it too small. Yeah, make it look bigger.
And so he's this giant hot man, but
and I'd like to say that he's not supposed to be doing this.
He's just
at med school.
This is just like him having fun.
He's just learning and he's like, you know what I should do? He's a breather. He's a breather with a bad idea.
I should bring this back to life, seriously. And he did.
Yeah.
He did bring it to life, but oopsie daisy, he's actually hideous.
He's hideous.
He's disgusting.
And he's scary. He's so big, he's scary.
His skin is translucent and like yellow and it's gross and he's like, ah! And so Victor runs away. Okay?
Yeah. I don't know what he thought was going to happen. Like, what did he think?
I think he thought he was going to make a really hot 8-foot man, and honestly, I would have loved that. That is my type. So Victor later goes back to his lab, but the creature is gone. Okay,
he's like nowhere to be seen, fuck, nor hide nor hair of him.
This is crazy. Anyway, fast forward. Victor, he's gotten sick. Okay, he's ill in bed, and while he's there, he gets a letter from his father saying that his brother has been murdered.
I feel the need to explain that.
No, don't. Please don't.
The girls were murdered.
The murdered. So, and Victor's like, whoa, my brother's been murdered. That is not good.
Not good.
So he goes to the scene of the crime. And pretty close by, he sees the creature, like, running away.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck, that guy totally did it. That guy totally killed my brother. I know it.
But it's been months since he made the creature, okay? Yeah. Like months and months.
It's been a hot minute. And so this is the first time that he's like interacted with the creature. He's kind of been like, I don't know where he is, but like he's not doing anything, so who cares? And I'm sick, so yeah. And now look, side note. I do find it interesting. I tried to look up the etymology of the word creature and creation, and I couldn't really figure out where the two words come from.
Start and finish as well.
But like, it's very interesting that they both start with C-R-E-A-T, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
If you are a linguist out there, please call in.
Yeah, seriously, phone in.
I'd love to know more. Anyway, so...
Oh, 800 required reading.
Please tell us the etymology of creature. Now, everyone thinks that Victor's nanny did it. Everyone thinks Victor's nanny killed the brother, but Victor knows
more.
They're
always first to turn on the help.
It's the help, and she's a lady. So everyone's like, we can't trust her.
Evil little ladies.
But he's like, I know it was the creature. And he knows that nobody would believe him if he told everyone he created a monster that killed his brother.
It's a pretty wild story. You go, okay.
It's a hard sell.
Mum and Dad, I know that you're grieving right now. Your son is just dead over there. And he's been brutally murdered. It is my fault. And you know what happened is when you were paying for me to become a doctor, to bring our family pride,
bring our
family honor, I decided in my extra time I would steal people's corpses and I'd stitch them together
reanimate. Like an enema.
It's like I'm doing a fake New Zealand accent. We'll reanimate. And he said, I actually reanimated a corpse. And then I ran away.
And
ran
now
away.
He's killed him.
And now he's killed him. I'm so sorry,
and
Mum
I know
and Dad.
I wasn't here
Will
to,
you
to
ever
have
forgive
known
me?
That to be true, but I know it.
Mums and dads out there, would you forgive Victor Frankenstein? Yes, no.
Look, it's a hard sell.
It's a
hard sell. And, you know, we've all tried at one point in our lives a similar story.
Yeah.
To our parents, being like, no, it couldn't have been me, because what happened was there was an eagle in the backyard and the eagle actually broke the plate. So couldn't have been. You know, we've all tried it. So what does he decide to do? He runs away again.
Yep.
Okay, he runs away into the mountains.
That's going to be a continuing theme.
Yeah, he runs to the mountain to clear his mind and to think and to begin looking for the creature. And while he's there, he runs into the creature and the creature goes, wait, stop, Victor. I need to tell you my story. And now, look, we've got another narrative. Yeah. Narrative within narrative. We
and
love to see it.
Arguably the best one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, this is the story of the Frankenstein's creature.
It's beautiful and heartbreaking.
Okay, so we now switch to, again, the creature's story. And plot twist, the creature is really, really intelligent, really switched on.
He's got that emotional intelligence.
He sure does. He is
and that high IQ.
A very kind-hearted
person. He's a critical
thinker
as well.
Yeah. And we follow him as he finds out. So he runs out of the lab, okay?
Yeah.
We're teleported back in time. He runs out of the lab. He's like, everybody hates me because I'm hideous.
Well, first of all, he's like, oh my God, I am alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Who am I? Where, how did I get here?
And then
here?
He sees
what
his dad run away.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, who's that?
Not feeling the portents aren't good.
No. And so he goes out. He learns that everybody hates him because he's ugly. And he goes, oh, that's no good. And so he runs away to the mountains. Oh, again, interesting. I wonder why that is. We'll talk about it later. And he finds an abandoned cottage up in the mountains and he just lays low.
He lays in a hovel, I remember. Yeah. He finds this nice wee hole in the ground and he's like, this is nice. This is a nice life for
me. It's nice and safe and he's alone. And while he's there, he kind of stumbles upon this poor family living in the mountains. And he just really becomes endeared to them.
He watches them.
He watches them and he starts doing nice things for them while they're away. Like he'll get wood for them and
he'll clear the snow.
Like he does all like the heavy things that they can't do.
And in return, he just kind of like watches them.
He just watches them. And through watching them,
he learns
how to talk. And he finds some books and he learns how to read. And, you know, he's really starting to fall in love with humans.
And being alive.
And he's like, this family seems so beautiful,
and
the trust they have with each other.
Yeah.
He's
and
loving it.
And I hear
it.
You say, how does some man like this, a lovely man, turn into a monster?
Yeah.
Okay? Because
but does he?
Does he? Well,
would you just...
Sorry, you
here
continue.
We go. You know, so eventually he grew so in love with his family and he goes, I need to talk to them. I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
We need to connect.
Yeah.
So he goes into the house when only the blind father is there and they start talking and it's going well. They're really starting to connect.
Yeah.
But then the others in the family get home.
Uh-oh.
And they realize that the dad is talking to a hideous, ugly, filthy, disgusting man. And they're like, ah! And then the son starts attacking the creature and so the creature runs away.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. You're a liar.
You're a liar.
You're
an
a
actress.
Monster. You're a creature. Get the
Get
fuck
the
out.
Fuck out.
What would what are people from Switzerland called? Swiss?
Swiss.
What is a Swiss accent? Swiss.
I you got some big old capers.
Yes. I get that.
No, it's more Norwegian.
Let's stop that.
So he's like, oh, that's so, I'm real upset now. I'm so sad. I loved that family.
Yeah.
And he's angry for them not accepting him for who he is. But who is he especially angry at? He's especially angry at Mr. Victor Frankenstein.
His creator.
He's like, what the fuck, man? You just left me on my own. And you're the only one with responsibility for me out of everybody on Earth. So what the fuck is that about?
Yeah.
Okay?
I didn't choose to be here.
No!
You did.
He's very like, stroppy teenager. Like,
yeah.
I didn't choose to be born.
Yeah.
You know? You have to deal with me now. You know? Very that vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
But also more justified.
But it's, like, so fair.
Yeah, so
he's
fair.
Not just going through puberty.
No, he's really not.
Hey, actually, puberty is a huge change.
Yeah.
Your brain is restructuring itself.
And
I think he can be grumpy to your parents.
Yeah,
I think you're so right.
Anyway, on his way to search for his creator, so he's going to try find Victor.
Mm-hmm.
On his way, he saves a kid from drowning. But the dad comes along, thinks that the creature is actually drowning the kid, and so shoots him in the shoulder, which really doesn't help.
It doesn't help
the situation.
No, because it could have been a bright light there.
You know, the creature could have been redeemed, and then the creature goes, what the fuck? Every single person who I come across fucking hates me.
Yeah.
I'm done with this shit. I am going to kill humans, okay? Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Yeah, get me out of here. And by the way, it is revealed that he did kill Victor's brother.
Yeah,
and also frame the nanny. So... Mm-hmm. Hey, not good.
Not good.
But he did that so that because he knew that
he
Victor would come back.
He needed to get Victor's attention.
Yeah, he needed Victor to come back. So anyway, we end the story with him talking to Victor in the mountains again, right? Yeah. And he says, hey, Victor, if you make me one lady friend, okay, and you let us run off into the wilderness together, we will never pester anybody again. We'll just go off.
I just don't want to be lonely.
I just don't want to be lonely, and I don't want to be hated by all of humanity.
Yeah.
So just let me do my thing with my giant, ugly bride and live out, you know, live in peace.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is so fair.
Yeah, so fair. And Victor goes, no, I'm not going to do that. And the creature goes, fine. Okay, if you don't do that, I will kill every single person that you've ever loved. And so Victor goes, okay, I've changed my mind. I actually will do that.
It's like the worst negotiation ever.
Hey, it's a pretty good tactic.
It's like, hey, do you want $1,000 for that?
No. I'll kill your whole family if you don't.
Okay.
Okay, so we're now on sort of part 4 of 5. Okay, mm-hmm. We're back to Victor's POV or narrative. Mm-hmm. He's going over to England, okay? And on his way, he purposefully splits from his bosom bussy.
I can't believe you just said that. I can't believe you wrote that down in the notes.
That's meant to say bosom buddy.
I thought you did that on purpose.
Because look, the S is right next to the D.
his bosom bussy.
Not his bosom bussy. His bosom buddy, Clerval. Okay,
wait, who's
Scotland.
Clerval?
Clerval's just like his friend.
It
doesn't matter. Okay. He's just his mate. And he's like, buddy, I'm going to get off at Scotland. Is that all good? And Clerval's like, all right. I'll just keep going to England then. He starts working on the little lady and, like, this tower. Very gothic vibes, like middle of nowhere, sharp rocks, you know, bad weather, love it. But he's like, hold on, this little lady, she's going to be worse than the creature
ever was.
She's going
to be so much worse.
Because all women are inherently evil.
Yeah.
And if you trace back all of the world's problems, they can all be traced back to womankind.
This we know to be true.
Wars start by women.
Yeah.
Okay?
Famously. Mostly women... In the wars.
Absolutely.
Men, nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be seen. They just chill.
Women could never, you know, negotiate with each other or come to some kind of agreement.
Well, women are inherently violent, and men always try to find alternative forms of agreement.
Well, because they're so emotional.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's violence.
Exactly. And don't even get me started when they have their periods.
Ooh. Yuck.
They just explode.
Yeah, it's so gross.
Anyway, so... He's building the creature, but he's also like, I don't think I should do this. It doesn't seem like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees the creature out the window and he's like, hold on, the creature has followed me to Scotland. To Scotland?
Scotland? Butterguttles?
And he goes, nah, I'm tearing this lady apart. So he tears a female creature apart, and Mr. Creature's like, no, 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 no. I'm livid at you.
Wait, is the creature there?
The creature's there.
Oh, the creature's been watching him.
So, no, when he notices the creature watching, that's every when he tears the woman.
Every step you take, every move you make.
Hey.
That's not the order those go on. I'll be watching you.
Yeah. Anyway, so... What the creature does, he storms in. He's like, hey, you said you were going to make her for me.
We had a deal, actually.
Yeah, you agreed to this. And Victor's all like, well, you will breed evil little spawns, so I'm not going to make it for you.
I just think that's so bold of him to assume that not only he could reanimate a person, sure, he's done that, right?
Yeah.
But he would also keep their reproduction intact.
To be fair.
I can't believe he thinks
that
would...
He managed to make brains work.
No, but to be fair...
And teach them how to speak.
We only started scientifically studying women in, like, the 90s.
Oh.
And that, I'm not even kidding. That's literally, like... Why would we? I know.
What's there to study?
Seriously.
What's there to study?
Well, it's too hard anyway. They've got all those hormones, you know?
Constantly changing.
Fucking stupid.
Maybe that's why he gave up. Because he was like, fuck, there's actually no textbooks on this, hey?
He was like, oh,
which
shit.
Which boob is which?
Shit.
She's getting
hormonal acne. I don't know how to do that.
What's the right mix of hormones? I don't know. How do the periods work? How do I put that in the clock?
Literally modern scientists in a nutshell.
Anyway, so he goes, look, I'm not going to do it because you guys are going to breed, and you're going to breed little Franken creature people.
And yuck. Ooh, yuck.
Disgusting.
You freak.
And the creature goes, fine, have it your way. But if you don't make my little lady creature, I will be with you on your wedding night.
Bum, bum, bum!
And Victor is real worried about that. He's like, well, fuck. Because
remember, he's got his little girly.
Yeah, so he just kind of like walks around and around the room.
Yeah, he does pacing.
Being kind of stressed.
Yeah.
And then he calms down.
And the creature
down.
Just sits there.
Yeah, the creature, he's just walking around and around and around. And then he's like, okay, fine, I'm going to leave now. The creature leaves, he leaves. He jumps onto a little sailboat. He goes out to sea, but oopsie daisy, he falls asleep. And he accidentally ends up in Ireland, the land of the troubles.
Hey, I wasn't going to bring it up.
I think we just have to bring it up in every episode. Just in case you didn't know.
But it wasn't good, was it?
No. It's not funny, is
it's
it?
No.
It's serious.
It's serious.
So, but oh no, he wakes up in Ireland. And he is immediately arrested for the murder of his bosom bussy, who we talked about before, Clerval. Which sends him into a spiral.
Spiraling!
He is not doing well. He is walking around. He is seeing things in his cell. He is going, what the fuck is going on with my life? Why is everything so shit? Anyway, eventually he gets cleared of the charges because he's like, it couldn't have been him. And he goes home to daddy. His dad. In time for the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. So we see him as he's getting ready for this wedding. He is arming himself to the nines. Okay. He's got guns. He's got knives.
Knives strapped to every surface.
Yeah. But plot twist. The wedding goes ahead without a hitch.
It's all good.
They're like, okay, that was fun. Maybe the creature was just bluffing.
Maybe
it's
just JK joking.
And so the next night, the Victor's like, look, I'm just going to do one more sweep. Okay, yeah. I'm just going to check that he's really not here.
We're all nice and safe here.
He goes out. While he's out, he hears his beautiful sister wife accidentally getting murdered by the creature. And then the creature is like, I killed your wife, like from the window.
He's not like that. He's like...
He is taunting.
He goes like this. He goes...
He's pointing at the corpse and he's like,
look, the consequences of your own fucking actions. Yeah, you, mic drop, runs,
you,
like, leaves.
You set this...
This is all your fault.
You set these events into motion, right? And now Victor's like... and then, guess what? Straight afterwards, Victor's dad dies from grief. So
died dead.
Victor is not doing well.
Not good.
Lost brother. Lost sister / wife. Lost dad. And lost his bosom bussy.
Yeah.
Okay? So
who's he got left? Just a mother.
No one. No, mother died.
Oh.
Mother died really early on.
Oh, you didn't say that.
It's not that important.
Okay.
But look, now Victor is really mad, okay? So he chases the creature across, okay, and I'm not exact, all of Europe.
The whole
of Europe.
Every bit of Europe. Every all single bit.
And then across Russia.
Yeah, Russia's so big. Amy Doran's big.
That would have taken so long to do.
Why do you think he gets so sick at the when he gets found?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually into the North Pole, right? Where he gets hypothermia and is saved by Wilton Strip. So we've now linked back up to modern day, okay?
Yeah.
Well, in the events of the novel, modern day.
Yeah.
All right? So then after this, Walton's ship, we're back to Walton, okay? He's talking to his sister again, and he says, look, after Victor told me his story, my ship got stuck in the ice and lots of my crew died, okay? Wasn't good.
Not good.
And Victor goes, look, I'm going to go and kill the creature, okay? I'm going to go. And Victor's like, okay, whatever. We're going to go back everyone's dying.
I'm a head out.
Because it's not actually looking good. So what we're seeing here is Walton has learned from Victor's story. He says, actually, the pursuit of science is not worth it.
Yeah.
In some regards. But Victor's like, no, I need to finish what I started.
He just doesn't
He's like, I'm going to go do it. But he doesn't because then he dies.
He dies.
Pretty soon after that. Anyway, then later on, Walton finds the creature on his ship. And the creature is mourning Victor. He's really, really sad. Okay, he regrets all of the people that he has killed. And he, you know, he realizes that he is so alone. He hates his father.
He hates what he's turned into.
He hates what he's turned into, but he's like, it actually wasn't my fault at the same time. And he vows to kill himself so he doesn't cause anybody any more pain. And we leave the novel with him drifting off into an ice raft, on an ice raft, never to be seen again.
Well, yeah, climate change, no good, eh?
Not good. He was the original polar bear.
Fuck, that's a depressing end. I forgot how it ended.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but my brain was just kind of like, happy families.
With everyone dying?
Everyone's dead. Everyone's sad. A lot of people are cold.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good.
I like that the majority of my contribution to this show right now is just me going, it's not good, eh?
Well, but it wasn't
good. I like saying that to anything, you know? Queen Elizabeth II dead, not good. Colonizing the world.
Not good. Inflation. Not good. This heat wave. Not good.
So that's Frankenstein.
Yeah. It sure is.
And I hear you say, that is actually not what I was expecting.
No. Because the creature is not called Frankenstein.
It's not.
Factually. Legally. Contractually. You know? Spiritually.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything. Not Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But who was the real monster all along?
The doctor.
Was it Frankenstein? Was it the creature? Was it society?
Yeah, see, this is a conversation. This is like, and people are like, I have got that high level thinking. Because they go, Frankenstein isn't the monster. And I go, King, that is like the lowest part. Like,
in fact, that is the point.
Yeah.
That's
the whole point.
If you just read the
book.
You got it.
You didn't even get subtext. You got text. You picked up the text.
You read it. That's basically what you're proving, is that you read it.
But Dr. Frankenstein's the monster.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, he created the monster, which makes him the monster. You know?
He is awful. Men, you know?
Men. Never trust him.
Nope.
I hate him.
So I want to talk about the subtitle of the actual book, which people forget. It's Frankenstein, subtitle. The Modern Prometheus.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite fascinating. So Prometheus is like a myth, a Greek myth.
Uh-huh.
And he's the guy, he wasn't a god, he was a
titan.
Was he?
I think so.
Yeah. So Prometheus stole fire from Olympus. And like, because before that, all the little humans had been like,
freezing.
It's so cold and it's so dark.
It's Greece.
And it was so dark, and Prometheus was like, oh, it sucks, little guys. Look, I gave you some of the eternal flame. And Zeus goes, you weren't supposed to fucking do that, man. And essentially, like, the humans become, like, the humans we know, they come advanced, and, like, Prometheus gets fucking punished. He gets tied to a rock and an eagle eats his liver every single day. It's so oddly specific.
And then the liver grows back. And the eagle comes back and eats. Like,
and
it's awful.
It's interesting because Prometheus means forethought.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a brother called Epimetheus, which is essentially means hindsight. So, like, forethought, essentially, Prometheus did or didn't. That's an argument you could have for a long time. he either did or didn't see what this would do to humankind. But how does that fit into Frankenstein? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Essentially, the way that I see it is that it's talking about the repercussions of the quest for knowledge and advancement.
Yeah.
The way that, like, the way that we want more things and more things and more things. Like, what does that actually do to us? You know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
And it also, like, the other thing that's really important is the Romantic era was big on the classical era, big on 5th century Athens. They were like, that shit, that's the golden age. You know how we're always like, fuck, I wish I was alive in, like, 2002.
Yeah. Athens was the OG 2002. You know? Was OG Y2K.
Exactly, it was Y2K. And it also kind of like the way that she's like woven it in is kind of talking about like the way that the ancient world is always going to feel perfect, where the modern world feels like dirty.
I also think it's kind of the idea that even the most from the most pure of intentions.
The worst consequences can come.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And they can't be forethought, but nevertheless, there still needs to be punishments in place, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is also a fascinating reading of it, because maybe Victor isn't so much blameworthy for the action of creating Frankenstein, but is blameworthy for his actions subsequent to it, because they
absolutely.
Were, you know?
Yeah. And this kind of like leads nicely into Romanticism, which is the era. And I think a lot of people get confused because they're like,
honey, she is the era to me. Okay. Okay. No other era comes close.
And so Romanticism follows the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
Romanticism is kind of 1719 to 1840. It's quite a short era, but it was a big, big ideas were had.
Yeah.
And I studied Romanticism last semester, and I looked at all my notes and I was like, how do I like sum this up? And essentially, this is what I've come up with, okay? Oh, feelings, you know? Fuck. We have them.
Pretty good analysis so far.
And then it's like this, and it goes, oh, it's a big rock, and that big rock's giving me big feelings, and I'm just feeling them.
Yeah.
And that's romanticism.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. That's it, pretty much. And so there's kind of like this interest in like overflowing, like powerful influx of emotion, like this kind of,
and the connection between emotion and nature,
exactly,
and how
exactly
brutal nature can be, but also how beautiful. And peaceful. And
so there's this idea, the biggest, and everyone will know it, say it with me, it's the sublime. Thank you. That is the biggest idea that comes from Romanticism, which is kind of these things that are essentially, the sublime is like, fuck, that's really dangerous. I could have died, but there's beauty in that. But it also comes into this idea that, like, I don't remember where I thought I'd start that sentence and I'd get somewhere and I didn't.
It's interesting that this ties quite nicely into Frankenstein, in that we see both Victor and the creature run off into the mountains to clear their mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
To find themselves. Like,
yeah, they have sanctuary. They're like
that's
independent.
Where they retreat
they
internally.
Can find themselves. Yeah, yeah, that is exactly
yeah, yeah,
it.
Which is and it's also interesting that when Victor is at his most sort of conflicted, mm-hmm. is when he's in Scotland, and he's in like the stormy environment where there's constant rain and whatever, really intense, sharp cliffs, and that's when everything is coming to its head for him, and he has to make that decision to tear the woman apart, you know? And that is like a strong emphasis throughout the whole book, is how the nature reflects the internal states of these characters.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is really very well done. The other thing about Romanticism is they're big on being like, scary things, not in England. We'll put it in Germany. Like,
couldn't be me.
They're like, ooh, somebody's doing something bad. They're Spanish. Like,
Dracula from overseas. Okay.
Seriously. And this period of time is just a really rich period of time. We've got Gothic literature. It's taking off. It's, you know, getting there. We've got, like, this was published 1815, I believe, and Sense and Sensibility was published 1817, I think. I could be totally wrong about that. But what I'm right about is that Mary Shelley and Jane Austen were publishing at the same time, and the Bronte sisters were like shortly thereafter. Things are happening.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
It's crazy how much these works from such a short period of time.
Yeah, it's not
continue
long.
To be so influential
it's like 50
today.
Years. Like
I know, which is, but even like within a decade, how many really incredibly famous books that are phenomenal came out that were completely inventive and are still being talked about today. Crazy.
I mean, that's one of those things we just won't know until much, much later. Like we don't know what things are going to be
our classics for another 100 years.
You know, the other thing about like this era was it was very like suspicious of science.
Yeah.
And like the thing about Frankenstein is it's not supernatural.
No.
It's not magic. It's not. It is like the consequences of artificial intelligence, which is like, fuck, what a slay. For her to like,
because AI didn't actually exist. Early 1800s.
Siri wasn't there.
She was not there. Okay, if Siri was there, it would have gone a lot different.
Hey Siri, were you alive in the Romantic era?
I don't know what you mean by, hey Siri, were you alive in the Romantic era?
She's a disappointment. She's always a disappointment.
Fuck you, Siri. But I do find it. Because we are seriously seeing men becoming gods
at the moment.
These
we
days.
Are. Elon Musk and not, terrifies
not
me.
Not in the same way that like it operates in this book necessarily, where they're creating new life.
Yet.
But in the way that a few men control the entire globe.
Yeah.
All 7 billion of us.
And
no
just...
matter what we do, we will always be under their shadow. Okay, the government is powerless against them. They own trillions of dollars. They can now expand into space.
The spies have eyes and they're
every single piece of technology that you own, they can track exactly what you do, where you are, what you say, what you do.
Geomapping, am I right?
And they can go back.
Seriously, turn off your location services. No, but it's a really good point. It's like there's so many things that Elon Musk does where I go, did you fucking have to? Like he wants to have like an airplane service that goes into space so that rich people can be there. Who is that helping?
Disgusting.
Like, what the fuck is that? You know?
I hate it.
And it's the same as, like, sometimes they announce things that they're like, hey, we can cryogenically create a little mammoth. And I go, why would we need to do that?
No.
We don't
we
need
just
to
don't need do to
do
that.
That.
We don't. We don't. Because they went extinct very much naturally.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Were humans around when mammoths were around?
Yeah. But I think they were Neanderthal.
Neanderthal.
That's how you say it.
Neanderthal.
No, they were definitely alive. Haven't you seen Ice Age? This is where I'm getting all of my information from. No, because they were the giant sloths.
Oh, yeah.
And there was the land bridge to America. That's not an Ice Age. I'm just talking
Sid's
about
it. It's not even that big of a sloth, though.
No, but like the sloth then in the Ice Age were like 7 feet tall.
But Sid wasn't big.
No, he was small. It wasn't very accurate. But maybe everything in that movie. No, there were people in that. That's where I'm getting my information from.
And Nicki Minaj.
She's a mammoth, of course. Yeah.
But, you know, this idea of like creation and destruction, you know, really makes me think off the top of my head of Karl Marx and Marxist theory.
Two socialists try and incorporate Marxist theory into everything.
Because Marx came up with this idea of when you create something new in your labor, you are simultaneously both creating and destroying something. You are creating an object, but in the process you are destroying a part of yourself. A part of yourself is removed.
I fucking feel that when I'm knitting, man.
Yeah.
My soul is like leaking out.
But never, don't stop. If your things are too small for you, Amy, don't stop. You can keep making them and someone around you will fit it, I'm sure.
Charlie just keeps inheriting gorgeous natural fiber garments.
I hate it. I hate it. It's so annoying. It's so annoying, but don't stop. Keep
but
going.
Marks.
It's your passion. It's your passion. Never give up on your passions. But anyway, but I find that particularly fascinating in terms of the context of this novel because quite literally in the act of creating something, Victor Frankenstein completely destroyed
himself.
His entire life.
And his family. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely a really great way to think about it. Another way to think about it is in the light of the fact that Mary Shelley had a lot of miscarriages and she had a stillbirth before she wrote this. Actually, I think the baby was fine and then it died like a week afterwards.
Oh.
So this was before she wrote this. It was like 6 months before. It's part of the reason they're in France. And she's just depressed because, you know, she's run away from her whole family, her entire life, all of her security with this guy that is hot, but he's a bit unhinged.
Yeah.
Like, he's a bit crazy too. And they have a baby and the baby dies. And so she's having this like, and she's also like dwelling on the fact that her mother died in the act of creating her.
Like she's having a lot of thoughts and feelings.
She's having a lot of creation destruction, thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
And it almost like for me comes back into this idea, which is even more relevant at the moment with like Roe v. Wade being overturned.
I know.
The fact that like birth is creation, but it is mostly destruction.
Yeah.
Like it wrecks your body and nobody cares. And, you know, like it's just fucking awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moving on.
Anyway.
Frankenstein, Victor, the doctor, this is. We've been over this. You're smart enough. You're with us. Come on.
You know what we're talking about.
He needs to do a YouTube apology video right now.
He does. What he did was unforgivable.
Yeah.
Okay? He's the Jeffree Star of the 1800s.
He is. He's so problematic.
He's so problematic.
Not good.
And he just thinks that he can just keep on talking his way out of it. But you can't, Victor.
Do you think it's worse that Frankenstein has a complete god complex? Or do you think that it's worse that he like has hashtag no accountability? You know? He didn't even open his notes out.
I think the accountability is so much worse.
Yeah, I agree.
He needed to apologize to at least his bussy friend.
Seriously, apologize for literally anything.
Or why not even, not even try to? He's so stupid.
I just love the way that was like such a straight male reaction.
I know.
To do something wrong and be like, oh my god, no, I did something wrong, and then just
to
like
literally
run away
and then secretly go running. Through secretly like try to fix it and then not tell anybody,
and keep going
and just hope that nobody ever finds out that anything went wrong in the first place. Like, tell me that isn't the most straight male thing to ever happen, ever.
I know.
It's disgusting.
I found it. This is not in the Reddit rabbit hole.
Yeah.
This is makes more sense here. This was somebody's quote. My favorite part of Frankenstein is when the monster is like, I'm going to kill what you love the most. And Frankenstein is scared for his own life. And then the monster's like, dude, fuck. I mean, your fiance.
Because it's true.
He's
crazy.
He's
like, shit, I forgot that two people get married. Okay?
Yeah.
He's a dipshit.
What's most important to remember about all of this? Look, we've been doing some critical analysis. We've been doing some thinking. We've been doing some, you know, historical context.
Yeah.
Dr. Frankenstein's supposed to be really hot.
And also kind of like twink vibes.
Yeah. Like Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, skinny, dark,
would
curly.
Do him so well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, every movie reproduction, where's the reference to the source material, guys? It's
absolutely
not fan fiction.
None. Absolutely.
And number two,
none.
The doctor is always old and uggo.
Yeah.
You know, and he's never a hot young twink.
Yeah. Okay. Where is the twink representation?
Seriously.
Where is it? I'm available.
Oh, I don't think you're tall enough. I'm sorry.
Who gets to dictate who is in which gay category? Me or you?
No, I think you're tall enough to be a twink. I just don't think you're tall enough to be Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
No, you're absolutely a twink. Not. Not anything else.
God. No, I wouldn't be Dr. Frankenstein. I would play him so well, that conflicted assholery. Ugh. That's my bread and butter, babe.
I'd like to see you as the creature, actually.
Yeah. That would be my opening line.
What I love most about Frankenstein is that at its core, at its heart, at its beating, you know, heart, it's a chase film.
It's Mad Max Fury Road.
It is.
Okay.
Fuck, that was a good film. That cinematic experience.
Robbed at the Oscars.
This is like the third time I've thought about this week. But the Mad Max in cinema, the first time I'd watched it.
God.
Fuck, it was like crack. It was so good. It was so good. I was like, what is happening?
It was so good.
Why do I feel like this?
But you know what? It's an interesting chase story in Frankenstein because, you know, in some ways, what they're really chasing
as themselves.
As themselves.
Yeah.
As their feelings.
And that's also what they're really running from. As themselves.
And their past.
And their past. And their present. Okay. And their future.
Yeah. All right. Now, do you have any sort of final thoughts on... Let's bring it down a notch.
Okay, bring it down.
What are your final thoughts on Frankenstein?
I just think that Mary Shelley would be so fun at a party.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she'd be immediate, like when you first met her, she'd be kind of scary. She'd be quite quiet. She'd be quite kind of intense.
Yeah.
But then she'd be really fucking fun. Yeah. Really fun.
I just want to emphasize that what Mary Shelley did with this novel was completely revolutionary.
Yeah.
And she did it at fucking 18.
Oh, fuck. I forget that. I always forget. She Sorry, I'm bringing it back up.
At
Sorry,
18. And this book is absolutely sensational. Mary Shelley deserves all of the hype in the world. And do you know what other book she wrote? I can't remember what the name was, but it was about a global pandemic.
Mary yeah. Shelley predicts COVID-19.
She did. I wouldn't be surprised.
That is great. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's her other, like, famous book.
Yeah, it's very impressive of her. And I love the fact, like, some incels out there are still trying to convince us that Percy Shelley wrote the book.
Stop it.
And he just didn't.
Stop
and it. And, like, there's no good evidence. Like, this absolutely cannot stand.
No.
But I like that they try. And I like that...
I don't.
No, but what I do like is that... we don't really think about Percy Shelley that much anymore.
No.
You only really know about him if you're a literature dweeb like me.
He's Mary Shelley's husband.
He's Mary Shelley's husband. And he actually took her name.
That's as far as we need to know.
Exactly.
You know? All right. Did he take her name?
No, I'm saying... No, she was Mary Godwin.
Oh, yeah.
It was always Percy Shelley. Like,
no, she didn't. All right.
Okay, well, I think that's everything.
That's everything we had to... You've heard a lot about our thoughts on Frankenstein.
We're going to turn to the World Wide Web.
Oh, yeah.
Take a trip down an internet rabbit hole to see what other people have to say about the book. Follow us now as we venture down the Reddit rabbit hole.
That's right. It's Reddit rabbit hole time. And this week we've got Amy doing the deep dive.
Yeah.
So what did you find?
Okay. This one was posted 6 days ago.
Okay.
It says, the title is, How Did You Celebrate Frankenstein Day? I wasn't even aware that there was a Frankenstein Day until last week, so we decided to celebrate with a special symposium where we took a short, comprehensive look at the history of this classic story, from novel to stage to screen to pop culture juggernaut. I had a lot of fun nerding out. And paying my respects to Mary Shelley in due course. How did you celebrate?
How was that short? That sounds incredibly long and comprehensive. Oh my God. What is Frankenstein Day? Did you find that out?
No.
I'm going to look it up.
It could just be her birth. Okay.
Frankenstein Day. August 30th. Oh my gosh, we missed it.
Oh,
it's Mary Shelley's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's a picture of a painting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the title is, it's in brackets first, WIP, which means work in progress. It's not finished. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't think so. It's not going to be polished. Monster with balloon flower. Oil on pallet wood.
Monster with balloon flower? Oh, God. No.
Unfortunately, the internet was saturated with it being Mary Shelley's birthday, like, 5 days before I did this, so a lot of them was just like, happy pulling out for the queen, you know, like, and I was like, slay, like, okay, rip, Victor Frankenstein, you would have loved Build-A-Bear.
Oh my God. Oh my God, so true though, he would have.
That's what it says. People will think about Percy and Mary Shelley first thing in the morning. Like, damn, bro, did you even try to be happy today?
What's wrong with that? Is he nice?
This one is a post from bisexual.org. Happy birthday to the bi writer and goth inspiration, Percy Shelley. Hashtag bi book club. And then, like, the
hashtag
link.
Hashtag bi book club.
Bi book club. Oh, and the link is to bi.org, famous buys.
Percy Shelley.
Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley's
the famous bi. We're not talking about it.
No. What?
We're not. We're not talking. Don't ask us about it.
Okay. The utter hilarity of Victor threatening to kill the creature when they first meet on Mont Blanc cannot be understated. It took several hours for Victor to climb that mountain, and it took Adam about 5 minutes. Adam is 3 times Victor's size and about 20 times his strength, but Victor's first reaction to seeing him is, "Fight me, bitch." The man has just barely recovered from months of brain fever and almost 2 years of borderline starvation, and he's threatening to trample into dust a man that he built like the Incredible Hulk.
So true.
And then, I don't know if Shelley intended that scene to be comedic, but it's a laugh riot. Victor to his 8-foot-tall superhuman. "Devil," I exclaimed, "how dare you approach me? And do you not fear the fierce of... the fierce vengeance of my arm wreaked on your miserable head." Me. "Victor, you miserable little twink. I don't fear the vengeance of your arm wreaked on a Fabergé egg."
So true.
Oh, God.
I love the fan name for the creature.
Adam.
Adam.
No, some people...
Is this not in the book?
Some scholars will refer to him as Adam because he's like the first man made.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, yeah, I get it. Makes sense.
Oh, okay.
I get it.
Sounds like he gets it. I took some more screenshots. That's all I've got right now.
Slay.
Oh, no, this one. Have you seen the drama with Adam Levine?
How he's been flirting with girls?
Yeah, and how his messages are so, like, not good.
No, I haven't seen the messages. I've just seen that he's been messaging girls.
That's what I found today. Frankenstein's monster exists. The town people. Holy fuck. Holy fucking fuck. That body of yours is absurd. That's what Adam Levine's been.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying now.
It's a funny one if you're in on it, you know.
Because I was trying to put it together. I was like, Adam Levine, people call the creature Adam. So is he going to be Adam Levine? I was, sorry. So what are your kind of overall thoughts on what online discourses?
There's a lot of geeks out there.
Bisexuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's synonymous.
Yeah, geek by...
That means the same thing. No,
I don't
okay,
know,
this
I don't
is
know
my
if I do know any bisexual women who are geeks. No, I don't. I don't think I know any of those.
This is my closing tweet. Okay.
Okay. You say twink?
No, I didn't. As expected, Frankenstein absolutely slayed. Nails emoji.
Now, honey.
Honey.
Honey. Now that's how you end an online section, honey, okay? Oh.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Amy.
What fun.
Aim, Amelia.
Amelia Belladonna.
Now look, you know, to really wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Up here with a required reading. We're now going to judge a book.
But okay? What are we going to judge it by?
Not by its contents.
Nah, fuck, why would we
no,
do
man.
That
no,
for like an
never.
Hour
yeah,
and
God,
then post
no.
it on the internet?
No. We would never judge a book, but we would judge a book
by its cover.
And now for the part of the show where Charlie and Amy literally judge a book by its cover.
That's right. It's judge a book by its cover, where we judge a book.
And we judge it
by its cover.
Okay. So today, we've got Bone Chillers, okay, by Betsy Haynes. Right, Amy, what are we looking at here?
Okay. So I want you to imagine that somebody took a cartoon turkey.
How the fuck are you going to describe this?
Somebody took a cartoon turkey, chopped it up, stitched it back together, and then put the devil inside of it. Okay. And that turkey
Wait, hold on. The face of the turkey is giving Peacock from Kung Fu Panda 2. Am I wrong? Look at the face. It looks like that.
You're so right. You're so right. And so I want you to imagine that terrifying cartoon Franken turkey bursting through what I can only assume is a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And the pumpkin has a scary evil face.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's some hands. And it says right beside the turkey, it says, "Look who's coming to Thanksgiving dinner." And it says above that, it goes, "Bone Chillers" in kind of a spooky font.
Yeah.
And then subtitle, "Franken Turkey."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd like to note, not that you should bring this in your judgment, but it's from the best-selling author of The Fabulous Five, which I was very surprised by. Oh, how they fall.
You know,
There's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on.
And the turkey is dripping with blood.
Where?
Isn't it dripping from its eye? Or is that its gobble gobble?
I think that's just an earring. No, I don't know. Look, okay, one thing that I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like the weird face above the turkey.
I don't get what that face is.
I don't know what that face is, because it's not like in the pumpkin. It's like...
I can only assume that it's a universal kind of thing that's used for every bone chiller's
book. I don't... But it's weird. And I also don't like how much further up, like, the neck goes to the head. That of the turkey, I don't like that.
Have you ever seen a real turkey in person?
Yes.
Do you think the neck is that long?
Well, the neck is... No, but... Past the see face ends here, and then there's so much more.
Oh, there's
neck.
A lot of forehead. That's not neck, that's head.
No, but it's like it looks like it's just the same neck, right? Oh. See, it's just like a neck tube.
It's just and then they put a quarter
of the way down the neck.
Oh, it's terrifying.
I don't like it. And why are there lights on it, like bike lights, around its neck?
No, that's bolts. They're energy bolts. It's not called bike lights.
What a weird inclusion into the creature's design. Oh, well.
And it has one of the little flashing red lights at the back.
You know, I got to say, I am intrigued to see how they are going to defeat Frankenturkey.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like, the cover works.
The cover, it's my attention grabbed.
Absolutely. It's very colourful.
So, how many?
One more thing.
Okay.
The hands that are pulling the thing apart, not green enough.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the color palette.
Considering how colorful, like, especially. Also, you can't really see the turkey's body.
I think it's supposed to be like that.
But not really, because you can see parts of it.
I want to know what he's coming out of, because I can only assume it's a turkey. But it looks like the depths of hell, and it could be.
A turkey? Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're... I'm sorry that I stunned us with such, like, a breathtaking cover.
Okay. So out of how many floating faces...
Yeah.
How many of those are bike lights?
Well, I think you'll find that 13 of them are turkey gobble gobbles, mm-hmm. and 3 of them are scary, creepy hands.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting, because I would have probably said that 27 of them was the peacock from Kung Fu Panda 2, mm-hmm. with 3 being probably stitches. So that's
pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious what we think of that. Well, that wraps it up over here at Frankenstein here this week.
Yeah. Do you need to be reanimated?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, have a fantastic rest of your week, day, month, or year.
Love you so much, little girly.
And we'll see you again very soon. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.